Because the amygdala part of us, that's talking about natural first, is the part of us that makes us feel good or bad. It's a part of you that when you do something wrong, and the amygdala produces all the hormones and it instructs your thalamus gland to produce all the hormones, and it's all related. The feelings of having done a bad thing, a bad feeling, disappears and is gone. And so they have a particular patient who was a businessman. Because of an operation in his life, due to an accident, his amygdala was damaged. And they found that before he was operated on, he was a very successful businessman. After he was operated on, he kept making the same mistakes over and over again. Keep making the same financial blunders and could never get ahead. So they began to say, what's wrong? Then they found that after his operation, when he make an investment mistake, he doesn't feel bad about it. And so every time when he look at the same type of thing, the bad feelings about it never come. And so he keep on doing the same thing over and over again. And so there's been a lot of research done in the area, and this is just talking in the natural first as an illustration. And they have research on monkeys, rats, and all these things. Amygdala, what causes them to react or not react, and the absence of it, etc. Although it's not the only conditioning, but they found it's a tremendous conditioning. And they draw a conclusion that for future decisions, what the person experienced missing of that part is going to be difficult. So for those who have been operated on, the damage, they've got to find another way to compensate. But let's go to the spiritual side now. When we have done something wrong, not only are we talking about the amygdala and the feelings of right and wrong. Remember this. Sometimes your feelings are not true. Okay? Our feelings have to be subject to the Word of God. And so sometimes, let's say, if God's presence come into the room, you may have, you know, depending on your walk with the Lord, if God's presence come into the room, I have the feeling sometimes of wanting to go near as close as possible to embrace the Lord if He's there. But if it was me when I was a young Christian, when God's presence is in a room, you may want to react differently. You got to withdraw. You know? Sort of there's a fear. I remember this Christian sister who is now a pastor in one of the little churches in Penang. So she was among those that we were training up. And so she spent a lot of time in prayer. And so she was sharing with us how one day she was praying. And there's just a little light in the room. And she was praying for many hours and seeking God. Then she is praying with her eyes closed. And suddenly she felt someone come into the room. A great presence. Somehow with her eyes closed, she knew that it was the Lord. And she didn't dare to open her eyes. And then she said, Lord, I know you're here, but please don't appear. Because she was frightened. So sometimes our reaction, that's why the angels always say, fear not, fear not, fear not. Why? Because people are afraid of God. So our natural feelings and emotions have to be trained by God's Word. So we're not talking in that area, we are just illustrating. Now when it comes to the true sense of right and wrong, only our spirit can feel it. And the only way we can change and truly repent and be able to change our ways to God is that the things that we used to do wrong, the only way that will bring us to true repentance is not like making a new wish list or making a new resolution. No, there has to be something working in our spirits called the Spirit of God. And He produces a sense of the sorrow of God. You know, God feels sorrow for sin? In the Bible, in Genesis 6, God saw the world was in sin and God felt grief. So, It is a measure of the sorrow of God transferred into your spirit, and you sense how much it hurt and grieved God. And then when you realize that the wrong thing in your life is causing that sorrow to God, and you could experience the sorrow of God, godly sorrow leads to repentance. And that was the cure that Peter recommended to Simon. He says, repent. So true repentance comes through godly sorrow imparted, and then he would be able to turn around because he knows that it's wrong. Now, to his credit, he straight away acknowledged his problem and asked for prayer. He says, pray for me. So, to his credit, he immediately turns around. He didn't wait, etc. He says, pray for me that these things won't happen to me. He's frightened. He wants to change, but he needs the power to change. Isn't that what many Christians want? We want to change, but we lack the power to change. A healing has to take place in our heart first. And what is that sorrow that was? Imagine Peter in Luke 22. When he saw Jesus looking at him, he remembered the words of Jesus, and he felt such sorrow like he never felt before. He cried and cried, and he had deep regret for what he has done. And out of that deep sorrow and regret, when he turned back to the Lord, he was a different person. It changed him. He knew how much he must have grieved the Lord. And so he slowly turned and became a better person. So the first healing process is what I call repentance through godly sorrow. That was the cure for Simon. And when we have things in our life that we constantly, constantly experiencing, you got to look at yourself in the presence of God and says, the only reason why we repeat the actions that we do is because we never deeply experience the grief and the sorrow that it caused God. And there is grace, there is forgiveness, but we need to experience how much it hurt our God the Father. And when we experience that, you will never more want to go back to the mud or to the wrong things. And there are more things to share, but basically that's the main cure for Simon and for his bonds of unrighteousness and iniquity. What he needed was a revelation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the gift of God's grace, the gift of righteousness. But that's the basic part that we see could cure Simon. And I conclude with this little sharing here. Everything we do in this life, every word we share in this life, is producing good or bad. And there was this person who, when he was brought to heaven, and before he could enter the gates of heaven, as he stood in the presence of God, for a moment of time, God showed this person all the entire life. From the time the person was growing up right to the person's present adult stage. And he said it was the most painful experience that person has ever to go through. And he says, not only, you know how people say your life flashed before you? These are not just flashes. He actually relived each moment. And he didn't remember his life just as a history or facts. And this was what the person said. He came back a changed person. This person said, when he is seeing his entire life, he saw not only the facts and the things that took place, but he felt every moment of it. Which means that every time he did something wrong, he felt the amount of hurt it produced to himself and to other people. I mean, imagine feeling all those things. And of course, when he did something right, he could feel the joy and the good things he produced in others. And so, it came to a stage in his life when he could feel that he almost couldn't take it. Because suddenly he realized that every word you say in this life, every action you do, everything you do in this life is affecting others whether you know it or not. And when you begin to feel the reciprocal effect of all that you've done, good and bad, and the hurts it produced coming back upon you, who can stand it? And then when the person came out of that, person says, you will never more speak one wrong word. You will never more do one wrong action. And you be very careful to walk the walk that God wants to walk, knowing that every action has a reaction in others. And when you begin to feel the pain, you want to walk right with God. And that's part of the healing process in each one of our heart and life. Because whether we like it or not, you are related to one another and to everyone else in this world. We are all part of the body of Christ. And whatever we say and whatever we do, whether knowingly or unknowingly, is helping someone or hindering someone. We pray that when we meet Jesus face to face, that you'll be able to say, oh Lord, thank you that you helped me to make my life a blessing to others. So that when you reach the shores of heaven and you look back, you can thank God that the fruit of your life continue to remain in many others. Let's pray.